Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Hallelujah.
Well, good morning to you. I know that many of you listen to this radio show on your way to a worship service. Most of you, I suppose, on your way to the worship service at the Church of Christ, which meets at 40th Street in Monte Vista in Phoenix. But I also know that there are some that are listening this morning that are trying to determine where to worship God. And for you, I'd like not to wait until the end of the program to invite you to come and be with us this morning. I'd like to do that just right now. The Church of Christ, it meets at 40th Street in Monte Vista in Phoenix, does not have a man-written creed. We don't have associations with religious organizations, or we don't have a worldwide headquarters or some kind of a synod to determine which is the best direction to go religiously. We open the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the complete Word of God, that God reveal to us everything that we need for life and godliness, everything that we need to be complete spiritually, everything that we need to have assurance that when we come before Jesus on that great day of judgment, that we'll hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." When you come and visit us at this place, and I might mention that several of our audience has been visitors that have first contacted the Monte Vista Church of Christ by listening to this radio program, and certainly they have been our welcome guests. When you first come to Monte Vista, bring your Bible. If you happen to forget, we'll provide for you a Bible. And during the worship services, follow along with the scriptures that are given, with the thoughts that are put forth for your consideration, and ascertain if those thoughts and those teachings are from God or from man. That's a great question that one needs to answer before being satisfied with the environment in which he worships. You need to be in an environment that follows the Word of God. You need to be at a place where we speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent. We invite your investigation, and we pray for your acceptance of our invitation to come and visit with us. Suffering. I think the longer that mankind lives upon the face of the earth, the more information, the more we see suffering close to us, the more our loved ones suffer, the more feeling that we have, the more compassion that we have for those who suffer. Jesus is referred to at places in the scriptures as the suffering servant. That challenge of suffering, though it's universal, has affected Jesus and his relationship with us perhaps as much, if not more, than any other of his gifts, his willingness to suffer. Suffering, human suffering, inseparable from human living. Thus, when Jesus took on flesh, he took on suffering. When Jesus Christ was growing up, his father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and he was in that carpenter shop when he smashed his finger with a hammer, he hurt, just like you and I hurt. If he stubbed his toe, he hurt, just like you and I hurt. And that's because he took on flesh. He became flesh. Because of his humanity, Jesus Christ suffered. Jesus met the challenge of suffering somewhat differently than you and I meet it at various times in our life. He met the challenge of intense suffering without sin. We read in Hebrews the 4th chapter and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." When I look back on the suffering that I have had, and I'm not trying to say that it's been more or even as much as the suffering of a normal person, but when I look back on the suffering that I've had, I cannot say that I endured, that I made it through all of those times of suffering without sin. But the Bible says that Jesus did that. And thus James writes, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials." Chapter 1, verse 12 of the book of James. Our text in this lesson today concerning Jesus being a suffering servant is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. If you have a Bible or you're in a place where a Bible is available to you, I invite you to turn to the second chapter of the book of Philippians, and I'll read from verse 1 through verse 11. "If therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joys complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Don't merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those beautiful words written to the church that was at Philippi by the great Apostle Paul, describing to us Jesus Christ and the fact that he became human and would suffer for us. It's through the suffering of Jesus Christ that you and I can enjoy unity with our Lord. It's human nature, isn't it, for shared events to bring about a bond, to bring about a commonality. We just celebrated the memories of our veterans. We just celebrated a holiday in our culture called Memorial Day, where we memorialized or we remembered the great suffering of people who had lost their lives in wars for our country, who gave the very most that a human can give in order that you and I might enjoy many of the blessings that we enjoy today. And I can recall seeing during those Memorial Day services a camaraderie between members of the VFW Association, that's Veterans of Foreign Wars, And there was a closeness there because they shared meaningful and important events in their life. The very basis for the Alcoholics Anonymous program is to get people who have a common problem to share those problems with one another and to gain through that strength so that they might recover. Well, as I think about Jesus and I read about Jesus in the Scripture, I see that there is a great commonality between Jesus and mankind after Jesus took on flesh. Jesus cried as we cry. Jesus hurt as we hurt. Jesus suffered both physically and emotionally as we suffer. And Jesus died as we must die. That sharing powerfully draws us to Him. Jesus said Himself, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to Myself." John 12 and verse 32. Jesus draws us to Him through His willingness to suffer for us. The ultimate result of suffering should be increased strength in our life. Strength to stand for truth. Strength to work for the Lord. You and I both know that in the physical, when a person wants to increase strength, he goes on some kind of a program that will first tear down body tissue and then through rest build it up and then tear it down some more and build it up and all of the time the muscle fiber becoming stronger so that the end result is strength. Suffering, while it certainly tears us down, through the overcoming of suffering builds us up and it allows us to stand for truth. It's difficult to stand for truth unless you've suffered for truth. It's difficult to work for the Lord the way the Lord would have you work unless you've suffered some. Of course, it goes without saying that our suffering will never be equal to the suffering that Jesus endured for us. But to our capacity, to our ability, Jesus, God, expects us to increase in our strength through suffering. I want you to notice that in verse 5 of our text in Philippians, the second chapter, that we are to have the same attitude as Christ. It's with that charge that I want to look at with you this morning at Jesus and His suffering in three different perspectives. First of all, at Jesus as a servant. Second, as Jesus as the sufferer, and third, as Jesus as the Savior. Jesus is a fulfillment, you know, of prophetic hope. Isaiah, in his great book, foretells of the humble servant Jesus Christ some 20 times. In chapter 42 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 9, the emphasis there is on the servant's gentleness and his endurance and his universal influence. In chapter 49, Isaiah, verse 1 through 13, the strength of God's servant to accomplish his mission is the focus. We read in Isaiah 50, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 11, of the humiliation and the sufferings through which Christ passed and did that for the good of mankind. And then in chapter 52, verse 13 through chapter 53, verse 12, one of the most touching of all scriptures in God's Word, the wisdom and the exaltation of ones possessing no outward attractiveness, yet being the very basis of our hope for salvation. A public reaction to such a man was surely predictable. Humans are predictable, and their reactions. He was acquainted with grief, the Bible says. He was despised. He was not esteemed by man. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. But even with those terrible reactions, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was afflicted and wounded and bruised for our iniquities. Jesus died for us. When you get to the place where you're worshiping today and you start to focus your thoughts in more clearly on Jesus, I want you to remember, Jesus died for you. And that death was not an easy death, but it was a willing death. I read one time where someone wrote that humanity put Jesus on the cross, but Jesus stayed on the cross. In his death, he became the perfect atonement for my sins. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey the source of eternal salvation. Jesus was, and Jesus is, God's love manifest. When he said, "It is finished," our hope began. Well, a second way to view Jesus is as the sufferer. In no other way could a just God be satisfied than through a perfect sacrifice. Suffering is what brings you and I near to deity. Note, if you would, the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 7. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. What then does Paul say to the Romans in this letter? That if you and I want to be glorified with the Lord, we must suffer with the Lord. Jesus suffered in order to do his Father's will. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about him being a voluntary sacrifice for humanity. And you and I are called to love because he loved us first. 1 John 4. And verse 19. Certainly, we should be motivated through the sacrifice of Jesus to love him, should we not? There are some very descript and key words in the New Testament which show the severity of the sufferings of Christ. In John 12 and verse 27, we read the words of Jesus where he's talking about his soul, and he says, "Was soul troubled," thinking of Gethsemane and the crucifixion brought about that reaction. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 37, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In the original, the words that are translated "very heavy" show a total occupation of mind. Jesus, when thinking about the cross, was absolutely engulfed with the thought of those things that lie before him. In Mark, the 14th chapter, in verse 33, the Bible says, "And he began to be sore amazed." That's when he was in the garden. The Greek would define sore amaze as a point of horror, a point that is just devastating from the human standpoint to consider. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, in verse 38, About Jesus, it says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Exceedingly sorrowful to what point? To the point of death. In Luke 22 and verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, came as great drops of blood." I wonder if that agony talked about there in Luke 22 is the same as what Isaiah refers to in chapter 53 and verse 12, where Isaiah wrote, "Because he hath poured out his soul unto death." Has there ever been a more touching cry than when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalms 22 and verse 1. Indeed, the very climax of his agony. And then finally, Jesus as the Savior. Jesus traversed from the garden's agony to the glory of heaven. He won a stunning victory over death. He returned to wear the crown rightfully his. And Jesus, through suffering, became our Savior. Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. And we say today, praise the King. And we ask the question, because we want to make the application, what do these things mean to us? What is the challenge that is set before us by this information concerning the suffering of our Lord? Well, we must be willing to partake in His suffering, to partake in His salvation. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "From now on let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." In Hebrews 11 and verse 25, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." 1 Peter 2, verse 20 and 21, "For what credit is there if when you are beaten for your own faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." Again, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Indeed, great passages of Scripture that have to do with us partaking in the suffering of the Lord. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, "But may the God of grace, who calleth for His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Again, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." And then in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yes, and to all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they will suffer persecution." Not suffering for the sake of suffering, but suffering for a divine cause is what Jesus advocates today. This suffering may not make sense to us. It didn't make sense to Job, did it? But we must use the suffering to our advantage, and we must grow from it. Our prayer this day is for courage. Courage to be a Christian. Courage to be a better Christian. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." Jesus taught that true living is daily living. And the only way up to God, is through the valleys of humiliation, sorrow, and suffering. To become giants, we must become as little children. We can never be free of sin unless we touch and lift the lives of sinners. Jesus suffered for our sins. He paid for our pride. How could any person reject such a divine love as the love for Jesus Christ? When you come and visit with us, I pray that you will see manifested in the attitudes of the members of this church, those of us who make up the Monte Vista Church of Christ, I pray that you will see within us an attitude of love and caring and friendliness that is brought about by walking in the steps of the one who came before and suffered and died on the cross for our sins. Have a nice day. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.